Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Some of You Show with Liz and, of course, myself, guest host Anna Banana. Hi, Liz.
Hi, darling. So I guess our girl has jury duty.
I believe so. Did she not let you know?
No. I knew that it was pending, so I just figured that I figured that you and I would be on today. I didn't know for sure, but I kind of figured.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
The case. And the thing is, because she is so smart and so forthright, you know, for me, I'm like, I ain't going to get in no case. I'm out 2 days. Boom. I have it down to an art. So she's like a dream for a case because she's so fair that, you know, she might be, I hope it's not, you know, I hope it's a quick civil case because she could be gone for like months. She's a prime, no, she is a prime, I am the worst. I'm like, no, I know three people that went to jail. No. And I don't even lie because if I really dig enough, I use the truth and the truth, you know, sets you free literally from doing jury duty.
Yeah.
But, our girl might, I hope it's a speedy process, but if they pick her for a jury, they're going to make her like, you know, the I don't know, what do they call the one in charge, like the four person?
Oh, the four person, yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be her.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, I don't know if she's listening to us, if she can, whatever, but depends how strict the courthouse is. They let them have phones and headphones. It depends which... You know, I
yeah.
guess every state's
different. What the wait mode is, yeah.
All
I haven't been, up to the courthouse in a bit, but I remember the waiting part was just.
Yeah. I caught up on a lot of reading, so hopefully that's what she's doing. And, she's a good candidate. So I'm terrible, but she's a really good candidate. But I'm so happy to be on with you. And, yes, been thinking about you. I know it's so funny. We haven't talked, but I know we've both been thinking about each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that had been helpful to sort of catch up with you would be to listen to the Friday show. And I'm like, oh.
I know. I haven't done a Friday
you
show.
You haven't? I'll check. I'll check in the archives. I'm like, okay, but I understand.
Well, I went to a seminar and it started Friday of last week, and the week before I think I had the kids, something came up on Friday, and excuse the pounding in the background, I'm actually getting a new HVAC unit put in my house. So
cool.
The guys are here tearing up the garage and the side of the house.
Don't hear anything so far, so we're good.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't? Okay, good.
No.
I can hear them. Pretty. I've moved in the house. It's like I'm moving areas. Like, what's the quietest spot in the house?
So far, I don't hear it. And, like, between the sirens of New York City and the HVAC and, you know, Atlanta, we're good.
Yeah. But I thought about actually recording, and if I couldn't make it on Friday, putting something in at least. And, you know, haven't done that.
But you know what, though? It's okay.
Yeah.
When it lands, and I think there's something about the nature of that show, something about doing it live, maybe. I don't know.
I think so, too, because it intuitively it was something that came up based on, you know, everything that's going on now. And,
right.
You know, it still is a journey and
Oof.
A process.
Child.
And, I cannot fully understand from someone else's perspective.
No.
Just actions and words not lining up. And I think that for me has been a bit unsettling. And at the same time, I think just recently, honestly, I've come to terms with things and not in the best of places at the same time. It's okay.
Right.
You gotta
go through it. You gotta feel it.
You gotta feel it. Yeah.
You gotta feel
and
it. I've been
that.
Saying that, girl. I've been saying that a lot on this particular show. That for whatever reason, and this isn't the case for everybody, but for whatever reason, I can only speak from my direct experience. that I need to profoundly and deeply feel every experience I'm going through, even the not-so-pleasant ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no shortcut. It's not that I'm trying to
right.
torture myself. Quite the contrary. And at the same time, I recognize how beautiful life is. Like, at the same
mm-hmm.
time, it's the duality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yes.
maybe you could, you would agree, although our circumstances are parallel yet very different, yet not at all, that we can really feel everything profoundly, but also recognize the beauty of this life. Like, that has never gone away.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. I totally understand that. You know, what's so weird, I was talking to my sister last week, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a perspective of this, it's a very different world than one that we, you know, grew up in, and one that we perceive to be, or what we expected. And, you know, we were talking about that a little bit, and it's so interesting, because now, like, I'm in touch with it now, and it's like that, blah feeling, that feeling, it's more on the better side of that for me than on the, you know, the icky side or whatever. So I guess that's the difference. But we were talking about, you know, the perspective of the world itself. And really, Elisa and I were talking about this yesterday. It's from all of this not to allow ourselves to be untrustworthy, or not to trust, I should say, or not to be jaded, or not to be, you know, all those really heavy negative things, which
mm-hmm.
I can see how very easily we could get in that, and how
right
easily
there.
People do get in that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think you and I, on the flip side, the folks that we are sort of interacting with, a little bit reacting with, it's kind of like that. That's kind of their perspective in a way. I'm just guessing. At the same time, like I said, I attempt to have these conversations that just end up with my foot in my mouth, or
mm-hmm.
what did I just say, or, you know,
yeah.
and so it's
yeah.
interesting.
It's
like,
so hard. It's so hard to communicate.
It's hard to communicate. And I think
yeah.
that's the key. And, you know, one thing that I did chat with her yesterday, and it's, you know, how can, you know, because we're not going to therapy now, we stopped. And, you know, I just said, and I asked her yesterday if she wanted to go back. She's like, I'll think about it. So right now it's just very, I don't even know what the word is, but it's not, you know, fortunately it's not volatile, which is fine. But I guess
yeah.
in a way I am so wondering how that communication or lack of communication, how all of that transpired, how all of that created itself. You know, in the fairness of law of attraction, you know, you say, what are my thoughts? What is my perspective? What am I focusing on or not focusing on? So in this real life perspective of things, it's true. It's like you look at what was I focusing on, or what am I focusing on, and this goes for each of us. When I say that, you know, it goes for each
mm-hmm.
of us. What are we truly focusing on, and are we giving those things that are important to us in our lives the attention that they deserve? And that can go for people. It can go for careers. It can go for ice cream. It can go for, you know, whatever it is. And so I find it really interesting, you know, because I don't really want to go back and say, you know, what was my thought process to co-create something like this? And at the same time, I don't ever want to co-create something like this again.
Oh,
you know?
No. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
That, let's just lock, throw
saying?
Away
yeah.
the key.
Yeah.
yeah. Bury the combination.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, we're not doing
yeah.
this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that thing, you know. But and I should say, in the process of all of this, you know, I've been reading a lot and doing a lot of self work and stuff. You know, something I came across yesterday, which I thought I would mention, is
mm-hmm.
you know, we talk about the I am, you
mm-hmm.
know, the I am that I am, and we keep
mm-hmm.
saying I am that I am. And something was brought to my attention recently. It's like, well, put a comma in it. What does that mean? I am that. I am that I am. And so when we look at things in the world, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever, we say, I am that I am, because we are everything. And
right.
Everything that we experience in the world is for us, and it's for our highest and greatest good. And when we keep mantraing that, you know, this is for my highest and greatest good, and I am that I am. So acknowledging it for whatever it is, and that it is here for my highest and greatest good. And what do we do about it now? You know, how do we take this and fold it into, how do we fold it into something that is positive and wonderful and can shift us and shift our way of being and shift our perspective into something more, you know, it's more. That's the, it is all about more and how to expand ourselves.
Absolutely.
But I thought it was interesting. It's like, I am that. I am that. So everything we look at, I am that.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Acknowledging that we are one with whatever it is that's in front of us, whatever physical thing is in front of us, but also whatever event is in front of us, whatever experience is in front of us, whatever it is in front of us. And it's like, wow, if I can acknowledge that and say, I am that, I am,
mm-hmm.
and
it
how does that start?
It
yeah.
evens everything out. It's just everything's neutral.
Yeah.
Everything's neutral.
Right.
Right.
Right. So very interesting. Of course, you and I both, we talk about living in the physical world and how we bridge that. We're etheric, we're kind of floaty, we're out there. And the fact that we do such physical things in the world grounds us to the physical. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's been one of the most interesting aspects for me, because Steph was a grounding force for me, you know, and probably to some extent still is. We do sometimes have really good in the past week. We've had some good conversation. They're short, and then we cut it off, and then we're done. And that way it doesn't get too nutty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, you know, I've got to work on grounding me, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's that independence piece. It's that piece of, and I think for each person too, like when you depend on other folks and you depend on situations and you depend on things. And I think that's part of something that's coming up for me, is that I've depended
yep.
so much, even though I am my own person and I do my own thing. There was this subconscious, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or
yep.
unconscious,
oh, yeah.
you know, subconscious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dependence that happens.
Yep.
And,
I see all sides of it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I always say blah, blah, blah. Let's do the thing. Do you want to pull a message for the day?
Yes. Message of the day.
I'll just tell you
a very funny story. So thank
okay.
goodness I have nothing to hide. Thank God. It's not one of those crazy, you know, breakups where, all these crazy shady things going on. I have nothing. I never have. I don't.
Right.
I never will. You know,
right.
I'm just, and it's not that I'm, you know, so pious. It's because I'm really too busy to keep track, number one, and number two, I'm a terrible liar. So I just have nothing to hide. I just
yeah.
have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
So because our finances are still commingled, we're still legally married, we're still, I don't know what is what, in my mind, the marriage is over. That's just irrevocable. I don't think that's changing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very forthright when it comes to finances and things like that, and he's way better at managing it than I. So that dynamic is continuing, where if I'm working or when I'm working and I get paid, I will give him the check, or he'll get the credit card statements or whatever, and you know, and as long as we're respectful, that can be like this until it needs to change. But right now, it could still, we don't have to go crazy right now. We can just manage.
Uh-huh.
So what's really funny is that on Sunday, Sunday was Gay Pride here in New York. And coincidentally, I had gotten tickets for myself and two friends to see an exhibit, and there's a reason why, a specific reason to see an exhibit at the Museum of Sex. Now, I have never been to this museum, and I will never go back, but a mutual friend of the three of ours wrote the descriptive copy for this one exhibit, which was a photography exhibit about the glory days of disco and Studio 54, and it's a friend of ours who's a music journalist who happens to have his, this, he wrote the text for this exhibit at the Museum of Sex. Girl, I ordered the tickets in like April on the credit card, right? And I said to myself, oh my goodness, there's going to be a $60 bill on the credit card, and I'm laughing to myself, from the Museum of Sex store. Right?
Uh-huh.
So the morning of or whatever, I say, I don't know if you got the credit card bill yet, but it's going to be from the Museum of Sex. He goes, yeah, it came. And I just figured, well, and I'm like, it's for tickets for an exhibit. I always have, do, and will always have respect for you. I have nothing to hide. And I just thought it was really funny. But I'm so glad I mentioned it. Because when he got the bill, he must have been like, what is she? Because I was questioned. I was questioned about my sexuality. I was questioned about my faithfulness. I was, and, oh, that would be so easy. It would be so easy, right? It would be so easy if it was that. It would be so easy if we could just scapegoat and appropriate blame on someone else. No.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so much easier. But I'm glad I mentioned it. Out of respect.
Respect. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it made me laugh like, oops. What is this credit card bill from Museum of Sex store? Like, what is she buying? Like, it's not like she went to Amazon. Okay. Anyway, I'll have you pick the messages. I thought I'd share that with you. The message. And meanwhile, so walking in that museum, I'm like, just look down. I'm like, no. Because we thought, well, for $20, we're going to see the one exhibit, but let's look at the whole thing because we're never going to go back.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, but, you know, like, la, 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 la. Yeah, just, okay. I was really, I had, like, my hands, like, on my eyes, like, blind, just la, 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 la. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. It's like I was in Amsterdam, Holland, and you know Amsterdam, Holland is you know red light district.
Right.
Yeah, so we ended up in some museum there, kind of like that. In that,
yep.
There was some of it that was interesting, like
old photos
of you know women in girders and stuff like that. But then there was extreme of you know pottery painted and stuff. It was interesting. I mean, there were some rooms I just didn't want to go into.
No.
Like, no, that's okay.
No.
Yeah, we were, yeah. So just to throw that out there that, yeah, I get you because I went
I'm
to
very
a lot of places in Holland and they are very extreme open society out there. But anyway, let's do message of the day.
Girl, I'm ready. You can pick it whenever you want.
Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready, girl.
Pick.
Okay. So, oh, how interesting, four-digit number, 1010.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. When the truth is a shock, the energetic shift propels you to realign, and all illusions fall aside, revealing what your divine purpose and work is. Hello. I'll read it again. When the truth is a shock, the energetic shift propels you to realign and all illusions fall aside, revealing what your divine purpose and work is. I would say I really identify with this because it's not really what that I thought that my situation would be my situation. Although I've initiated it, but because the truth of the situation shocked me into initiating it.
Right.
I can't live my life this way.
Right.
I can't, whatever life I have left, I don't know if in your situation this would line up, but in my case, maybe, but in my case, it was the dependency thing, so that's why I was kind of laughing when you were talking about that. I'm like, check, yes. The dependency, the unconscious dependency, that I really understand that on my end. Being the recipient of unconscious dependency, and it was hyper-dependency, but unconscious. And also, just that shock.
Interesting. On my end, I want to say there is a little bit of deceit. I'm not going to go into details, but there's a lot of secrecy and there's a lot of things that aren't being said and told.
Okay. That, that's very different. And that's that. And, I'm so, like, oh my God, because that,
totally,
if you're just
totally
dealing with
relate,
that piece of it, go ahead.
Yeah. I totally relate to what you're saying. And this number and this message is just, it's about,
I'm gonna send it to you.
It's 1010, which is, really about our self, spiritual self, and our purpose, and you know, it's our inner wisdom. It's everything. It's about what are your beliefs? Because I think I question my beliefs. I questioned who I am.
Sure.
I questioned my I am in this whole process because, like I said earlier, I was really embarrassed about all of this, and I didn't really want to talk about it. But then all of a sudden, it's something that has totally shredded, if you will, my life and peeled away everything to where I'm raw. I mean, I am spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially raw. It is to the core. And so the only thing that I can do is listen to guidance from beyond. You know, fortunately, I do have family support. I mean, Lisa's fantastic family support. My brother, my sister, my father, my extended family, who are just, I think my extended family is just in shock a little bit. But they, you know, they don't see us all the time, and that's one thing. And then my immediate family is just, you know, they're trying to be as very supportive as possible in all different ways.
Right.
But this is about, this number tells us, you know, it is about maintaining our positiveness, and that's something that I like. This is a death. I mean, for both of us, this is a death. It's a death of a relationship.
Yeah.
And what happens is when we go through that, much like when my mom passed away, I stayed in, you know, grief for 17 months, you know. And so it's like, what? How can I not do that this time? How can I? How can I turn it? And the only thing that I have is the fact that I know that everything comes from within me. That I am that. You know, I am that. I am that. I am that.
Right.
And so when I do that, and it's not necessarily about just affirming who I am or who we are in each of us, but it's committing to be who we are truthfully. That's huge. Not being somebody for someone else, but being you for you truthfully.
Well, yes. The thing is, I'm wondering if this resonates because with the unconscious hyperdependency, there is no deceit.
Right.
I mean, I could say he would disagree, but I could say this was catalyzed by what I perceived as a deceitful act, where that, on his perspective, it was just giving me my space. But I could make that perception. But really, if I'm very, very honest, there was no There was no deliberate deceit or secrecy or whatever. Thank God. I don't know how I would handle what you're talking about. But with the unconscious hyperdependency, because of that, I didn't realize this,
mm-hmm.
but I lost myself
mm-hmm.
in the relationship, meaning
yes.
I no longer existed. And the thing is, too, I was warning him for a couple years, like,
mm-hmm.
this isn't good. This isn't healthy. I'm doing too much. You need me too much. You don't see me. I actually started warning him like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. And actually that's interesting that you said that, because that's what Stephanie tells me.
That's why I'm saying it to you. Right?
Yeah, I needed help and you didn't give it to me. And I said, you didn't ask me to specifically, you know, you weren't asking me to specifically help you. And actually when I did attempt to help you, what I felt like I attempted to help you, you pushed it aside. Or you said it wasn't good enough, or you said it wasn't worthy, or you weren't worthy, or, you know, it's and again, it's all perception. And this is what I want people to understand, that
right.
you have your perspective, I have mine, they have
right.
their perspective.
Right.
So when we understand that, then and this is what I said, I try to put myself in her shoes, and I couldn't, because what I'm seeing is everything negative. I mean, that's how I'm perceiving it, even though she's saying quite the opposite. And it's like, and you know, I am of the nature of, you know, I love you, and I would love to have a cohesive family unit with my children, especially. I miss those guys. You know, I got to see them last night. It was great. You know, took them swimming and stuff. So, you know, I do get to see them. And at the same time, the dynamic is different.
Of course it is.
So, you know, and that's the thing is, like, you know, she says, you know, we're dealing with the house and, you know, what to do with the house. And I'm dealing with me and what to do with me and where am I going to go? And how am I going to be in the world? And, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I think, This whole thing is interesting, because she doesn't have to, because we're not living together and we don't share. Well, we didn't really ever share total complete finances, and she did handle the house bills and I handled the mortgage and the insurance and stuff like that. And now I'm having to handle everything. So of course, there's sort of like this, no offense, but a half-assed attempt to give me the information, you know? So it's,
mm-hmm.
fortunately, it's not a lot. It's, you know, electric, gas, you know, all your basics. So it's not like anything over that. And we didn't have credit card debt. So
thank God.
I think, you know, one more house payment, boom, it's done. So all these weird things, it's like, you know, I'm looking at it like, how could I have been, and that's the question, like, what could I have done that she would have received? And I don't think there is anything that she would have received.
I don't know.
We're gathering information in the conversation I'm having. It's like, well, she's probably, just had this thing in her head that she was going to get out, you know, but it took her some time to do
yeah.
it.
And the other thing that I want to bring up, because it's a common thing, mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily asking for help. I was
mm-hmm.
stating, this isn't good. I
right.
can't keep doing this. But it fell
right.
on deaf ears. Or the remedy was, well,
right.
I'll give you your space because you're stressed.
Mm.
That just made me feel that much. I just ended up not realizing it, but living a very separate life, which is why
right.
We weren't joined up. It's a little different than you guys. Like, most people in my life don't even know that this is over, because they're so used to me just being so independent and,
right.
you know, professional and I'm doing my thing and all of that. So it's not like, oh, where is he? It's no, he's never around anyway. So that actually has been a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But giving me my space.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be everything that I needed.
Well, and
to
in
the point
mine,
that I, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was saying, in mine, it was the opposite, because she was asking for her space and I wasn't allowing it. I was trying to.
Oh, I got too much space. I got,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
you
funny.
Know what,
I got,
okay, well,
And finishing up the message, though, real quick, I just want to say that the 1010,
yes,
which is,
yes,
all about spiritual, our spirituality and connection to source, adds up to a number 2, which is about relationships, partnerships, love, faith, trust. It's funny. It's a courage, faith, and trust in the angels in the universe. So that's what it's saying. It's like, you know, your prayers, we are getting what we're asking for. And so,
yeah,
you know, choose what you're asking for, because if we're asking for, you know, for me, it's like, I want to be in relationship to people who love me and who respect,
right,
me, and I can do the same for them.
Right.
I want to be in relationship, you know, with my children so,
yes,
that they know that they are loved.
Yes.
I want to be in relationship with, I do want to be in relationship to Stephanie, that we are at least friends. And
yes,
that
be the best co-parent that you possibly can be.
Yes,
that's, I hope I get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is important when we look at our relationships and how we are relating to other people.
Right.
And that's why I said, I feel that as this, you know, as everybody say, time heals all wounds, right? So as we
allegedly
move,
so I hear.
Yeah. As we move into this, this new paradigm of who we are individually, I think that's going to be interesting to see it's interesting to see what shows up, because it is, you know, it's law of attraction. I mean, you're attracting things into your life, and I'm like, I don't want to attract this heavy stuff in my life. You know, I'm
so
ready for
exhausting,
light and easy and fun and airy, and let's just see how that goes from there. And everything, it felt like everything for a moment was collapsing around me. And I think that, you know, not only mentally, emotionally, physically, I mean, spiritually, but physically, I mean, like AC unit goes out, you know, all these, all the things that
I
was talking about happened. So it's like, so I created that. So it's like, okay, so everything is working out for me. That's my new thing. Everything's working out for me.
Oh, I like
I'm
that.
Getting everything that I want.
Yeah.
Everything that I need is showing up in my life. And that is true.
Yep.
You know, my family has come through and said, you know, I support you and whatever, however you need me to support you. It's just all kinds of, you know, the universe is coming through. Let's just say that. It may not be coming through in a way that I thought it would come through,
right,
but it's coming through. So it's like, wow, that's amazing. And it's what I tell other people. You know, have gratitude and be appreciative of
all day
the blessings that are coming through, no matter
Absolutely.
Where they're coming from. And I think that's the important part. We think if we give or we do something for this person, like, you know, I could be really, really pissed off and angry right now, you know, because I, you know, I can say, well, I continued to do this work because I wanted to support my family, you know, on and on and on. And that was my mantra for a long time. I had this goal. I had the goal to pay off my house, you know, so that we could be, you know, financially free and go do some things, you know, go play. And it's like, wow, that's happened and I'm by myself, you know, it's like, wow. So it's interesting how, you know, life gives you what you've asked for. And so, you know, I remember saying, I don't really have space for me in my own home. Well, now I have the whole house. So I'm really paying attention to what I'm saying, because that was not my intention at all. But the universe said, oh, let's just clear out your house for you. You know, not only emotionally clear out your house, but we're going to physically clear out your house. You know,
right,
we're going to, you know, I mean, the piano left yesterday. I mean, that was bittersweet, you know, being
wow. That's crazy. And, you know, and I'm in my home so little. For months now, so little that it's to the point that it's painful.
Yeah,
that's gonna change soon. We're gonna get on some sort of schedule ish because the school year is ending. But that's been really difficult to feel displaced, and I miss my kids. I do see the older one, and the younger one I see intermittently, but not as much as I'd like. And it's, you know, I rush out to say goodbye to, you know, before he goes to school, and I rush back in. And that's been really really hard, not able to really process this in my home. I've processed it out in the world behind dark glasses. It's unbearable.
Yeah.
It's changing, though. It is absolutely changing. And what I talked about on – do we have a call or anything?
No.
Okay, good. So what I talked about Thursday was the day before my birthday. My birthday was this past Friday. And I did not want to wake up to this unhappy state of mine. So I actually spent the night in a really cool, you would love this hotel, this really cool boutique-y hotel. And I actually slept. I haven't slept in weeks, months. I actually slept. So I just wanted to have that as a fresh start in my life. And then spent my birthday with a dear friend, spent the night at her place, and came back home, and spending the night someplace else tonight. And this should start shifting starting Sunday. Should start shifting a little bit where we're going to work out some sort of schedule. And I'll be able to spend time in my home because I haven't.
Yeah.
It's like a hotel. I'm in, I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been killing me. I miss shopping and cooking for my kids. Like, it's been really, really difficult. I'm exhausted. I am so tired, bitch. I know it's 9:07, but bitch, I'm tired.
Yeah,
like,
there's
just
no
exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the option. Well, and I'm not sleeping. You know what? It's like those things. Like, I don't sleep through the night. You know, I get
how
up
can
at
we
3 o'clock
sleep?
In the morning,
girl.
Yeah.
No, because this just affects the core of who you are. The thing is, it's like it affects the core of who I am. And the thing is, it's like I left. She left the building a couple of years ago, and she didn't notice. I didn't even notice that I left the building. I didn't even notice. That I think is the biggest shock of all, that I didn't even notice that I minimized my worthiness in the relationship.
Mm.
That this was acceptable.
Yeah.
And then there was this alleged act of deceit, which wasn't, but alleged, and not on my part, but I perceived something as a deceitful act. And that just was the Pandora's box to realize I deceived myself. I deceived myself because I totally eliminated anything that I really needed. I just lived a separate life. Because I thought that I wasn't worthy of romantic love or a relationship past just being a doer.
Yeah.
And being dependent upon. I thought that was it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, there's more.
There's so
more
much more.
There's so much more to it.
And I'm not even interested at the moment. I'm interested in having a relationship with myself. And what's very interesting, when I say that, I need to know what it's like to love myself. It's almost like that's not even being received.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not even being, like, that's not even put on the table that, oh, that's a valid reason. Or I've been accused of, well, it's just so negative. And I'm like, oh, you're so wrong. I've really, been really clinging to the good memories. That's what gets me through. That's all I think about. I don't think about how toxic things are. I really think about, there's a couple of very pivotal memories. That's what I hold on to. Because it keeps me in a pure space.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah,
and I think for me, I do the same thing.
Yeah,
because those are the good times, and when we had good times, we had really good times. You know, so I look at that.
Yeah,
me
too.
And then the reality is, you know, would you go back just to hang on to those good times you know, and that's something that we were talking yesterday, and it was like, you know, the kids are saying that you want us to move back in the house. And I said, no, I don't. I said, actually, it's time to move on. I don't know how we're going to do that or how. And I said, you know, I would prefer, for me, a total change of scenery, a total change of space. And I could actually have that by the end of the year if I chose that. I could pack everything up and I could be gone, lock, stock, and barrel, and just start fresh, totally fresh, somewhere new. My issue with that is I don't know where my kids are going to be.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to be in Georgia. I don't know if they're going to be in Florida.
Right. And you have no control. There's no legal tie.
I have no legal tie. I mean, everybody is like, you know, I'm sorry for you, and it sucks, and you know, you have to live on the saving grace of somebody else being nice to allow you to see your own children.
Oof.
And so
that is wow.
Yeah. And so not being able to
have a say in that. You have no say.
Say, well, you know, something as simple as getting up and curling up next to your daughter or your son and sniffing their hair. And
well, I get
that
because I don't have that now.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have it now. Yeah. And it cuts in your soul.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I understand.
So, you know, and I've got a few friends of mine who have been in, not in a similar situation, but moms who've chosen to get out of their relationships and move on and leave the children with their ex-husbands. And they've told me it was gut-wrenching in the beginning and then quite fulfilling towards the end. Now, their children were a little bit older. You know, they were in high school and stuff. So
yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see where, you know, in my situation, she, you know, if I called up and said, hey, can I have the kids all day, she would probably give them to me because this is, it's about her space and her being doing what she wants to do. And I think in my mind, I couldn't imagine someone being so selfish. And then sometimes I'm envious of that selfishness because I could never do it. I would never deliberately hurt someone.
I couldn't.
Because that, you know, in that internal conversation, she's like, you know, I still love you. And I know I made the right decision. And I was like, yes, you displaced all of us. You know, you displaced all of us, and you've made the right decision. But to me, it's for your selfishness. And people have to do what they have to do for themselves.
Right.
I think when you have children involved, for some reason, I feel like there should be, you know, because I'm like, meet me in the middle, you know, just meet me in the middle because we've got kids. So how do you handle, you know, for me, it's like, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
Situation.
Well,
so
I was accused of sort of the same thing. Not exactly that, but I was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was. I destroyed the family.
Yeah. And so it's and I'm not and I'm I know that we're, you know, because she said, you know, we're still a family. We're just a different dynamic of families. Like I get that. I understand that. I said, and you know, I just am not around them enough to say. This, I don't like them associating with this person. There's a bad element there because there's a situation, there's a couple of people that, you know, she's brought into her life. And the kids, like the kids were saying, oh, we went swimming with a couple of friends and one of them I'm okay with, the other one, I don't know. And he gives me the creeps and I'm like, I, you know, it's like,
oh my God,
my son's 11 years old. He's going to be 12,
yep.
You know, soon. And,
yep.
And he's, there's so many things. There's so many variables for these children right now.
My son's the same age, and I would be right with you.
See,
yep.
Where this could go totally not right. And
oh,
but that's
God.
You know, again, that's me, and that's my perspective, and that's my judging, which I need to.
In your defense, okay, that's your maternal instinct.
Mm-hmm.
That's your parental instinct. I would feel the same way. So don't say you're judge. There's a difference between judging and parental instinct.
Right.
So don't, please, because you're judging yourself and saying that. Please don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. No. And you're seriously, in your defense, that's really, I mean, our respective situations are complicated, but our sons are basically the same. They're just a few months apart, and then your daughter's younger, and then I have a son who's older son who's 18. But the thing is, I'm fortunate in that their dad really doesn't have friends and has kind of isolated himself, so we're not dealing with the social dynamic the way that you are with younger children. That I would lose my mind a little bit with that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole degree of people that Stephanie has been associating with that are very, let's just say, they have a tendency towards manipulation and violence. And
it's questionable. And let's just say it's questionable.
Yeah, it's questionable.
To be kind. It's questionable. Yeah. See that, yeah. And there's nothing you can do because you have no protection under the law. You don't exist
and
under the law.
And the more I push that, the more she can pull them away
more
from
resistance.
Me. I don't want to risk that. Anyway, we do have someone raising their hand.
Okay, let's take this call.
If we would like to take a caller, because I would like to just hop off the subject, if possible. All right, we know who this is. Hello, lady.
It's me.
Yeah, you.
Hi.
Hello.
I didn't have any people to monitor, so I thought I'd call and say, yo, what's up?
You're so crazy. Hi, darling.
What's going on?
Well, listen to the show.
Oh, yeah, I just hopped in, so I guess I will.
Yeah.
Pivot shift. It's pivot shifting, you know, same stuff, just
But I have to say it's very helpful and very interesting, I think, for both of us, that we are really able to understand each other's perspectives, but also get another window into looking at things as well. Like, I find it very
mm-hmm.
helpful,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same token, I really feel for you, Anna. Like, I really feel for you. And you know what I wanted to mention also is I'm not saying you're going to move to New York, but didn't someone tell you years and years and years ago? What was that?
Yeah, when I was going before I met you, that I was going to move to New York City.
Who was that? Who said that to you?
Someone who had done a course with I don't know, but somebody had some coaches, and I got on a list of getting a free reading/coaching session. And
right.
I didn't know this woman. She just called up.
Wow.
Gotcha.
So this is like what, 6-7 years ago? This must be like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And you would think over those years, well, you know, how could that be? You have a partner, you have children, you own a home. How could that be? You know? How could you
right.
even entertain that? You really couldn't. So I think
mm-hmm.
it's very, I'm not saying you're going to go to New York, but it's very interesting that you're talking about, and I think it would be a good idea, actually, a complete reset.
Yeah.
Complete change of scenery, mm-hmm. but then you're mm-hmm. dealing with the complication of you're so tied to these children.
Mm-hmm.
But you have very little autonomy or authority and all of that. And it's so Lydia calls in to say, hey, she just jumped on the call, and we're going back to the same subject. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, Lolita, let's talk about you.
You are so funny.
Lolita, are you still talking to this new guy from DC?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? Yeah.
We're just having a little communication error here.
Little hiccup?
Yeah, you know me.
I do know you. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, buddy. You know me. I need proper communication. If not, we can keep it moving. Deuces. Hey, but I want to do an angel reading for you guys.
So how does that work?
How does that work?
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, I'm just going to shuffle my deck here and I'll give you a message for both
okay,
of
great.
You guys, and you can tell me when to stop, and I'll stop shuffling. And so, no music for my two beautiful ladies, so we'll just play music and you just tell me when to.
Okay, I'm going to tell you when now. When?
You can tell me whenever.
I'm telling you now.
She did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pick. All right.
Pick.
Let's see what the two lovely messages say for you two.
Okay.
Oh, very good. Okay. It's Archangel Sonia. I bring you a message from your deceased loved one. I am happy, at peace, and I love you very much. Please don't worry about me.
Well, Anna, that's hello.
I'll give you an additional message on this part because there's more to her. Your heart has been heavy with grief, and I'm here to reassure you. I'm a guardian angel to your deceased loved one, and I want you to know that there is no reason for you to worry. Your loved one is very happy and has adjusted to the transition very well. There is no anger or upset directed towards you, only love and understanding. You have done nothing wrong, dear one, so please don't blame yourself in any way. You did everything that you could, and your loved one has asked me to share this appreciation with you. You and your loved one still share great love between your souls. That love could never die. Although you miss your loved one's physical presence, you have already connected spiritually in your dreams, as well through feeling, hearing, smelling, or seeing your loved one's essence. Your loved one is alive as you are, even more alive in many ways. Relieved of earthly cares or bodily pains, your loved one is freer and happier than ever. As soon as you complete your life's purpose and it's your time to make that transition, you'll be reunited in each other's arms. In the meantime, please know that your loved one is with you often and that the angels surround you continuously.
Anna, that was like for the two of us. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we both needed that.
I've been dabbling with my cards lately.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Instead of surfing and not utilizing my time efficiently, I said I need to just learn to tap into my cards.
Well, yeah, no, as you should. And what I would just say about the situation with the DC guy is that you're a lot to take. And let's just leave it at that. No, I'm just kidding. You're a lot to take, and he just needs to catch up to your, you know, you're so used to the frequency that you operate. Most people don't operate on your frequency. Most people really can't go toe-to-toe with you. So you got to, it's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. He's never met anybody like you. Yeah, she's laughing because she knows. It's a misunderstanding. It's a miscommunication. So there has to be a. He doesn't even know that this rate of frequency even exists. Does that make sense?
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, you know, I just know that he's definitely not used to it. I'm very upfront. You know, I don't have a filter. You know, I speak what I need to speak.
Right,
and,
right, exactly. You're not submissive by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'll be submissive when
I'll
it needs
to be.
I'll be submissive
when I'm in the bedroom. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're so funny. But no, sure. I mean, I'm having a good time. And it's like, okay, I have a pet peeve if we're conversating and we're talking, finish the conversation or say, hey, I gotta talk to you later, we're not good night or whatever it is. End the conversation.
Okay.
So it's a little minor because
it's a hiccup. Gotta communicate. You just gotta say, okay, moving forward. You know, and the thing is, it's like, Anna and I are finding ourselves in this crazy life change predicament because of unclear communication.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Important.
So
it's important that,
yeah, I don't recommend what she's going through and what I don't recommend it. I don't recommend this at all. This is so painful and so difficult and so enduring that this is the early stages of a potential relationship with you with this guy. So jump on the, you know, and just say it very lovingly, you know, like, look, we're getting to know each other. And what would really be helpful and what I would need from you is that if we're having a conversation, you know, this, it would be very helpful for us to end the conversation or for us to figure out when we can continue and finish the conversation instead of just leaving it, you know, unresolved or unfinished. That would be, I wish I did more of that because I wouldn't have found myself in this hot mess.
I did that 2 days ago and he agreed and he did that last night again. But that's the male version. So see, luckily I understand how a man is wired. So I'm just gonna let him dabble because right now he's blowing up my phone. So
of course,
let him go.
Yeah,
you know,
let him blow up the phone. And the thing is, you know, they just need to, you know, they figure it out eventually. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm very good at
articulating, you know, what you need and all of that, and at least knowing that. See, I didn't even know what I needed because I didn't think I had any needs. And then everything is kind of blowing up in my face because I have to acknowledge that I exist.
Yeah, no, you're so right. And I think just from me, I hate to say this, but just, you know, learning, being in the sales and marketing business,
yeah,
you know, I treat all my, I like all my friends will say, because I always say this, life is a business contract, whether you accept it or not.
Absolutely,
it's a business contract.
Absolutely,
and it's like sales. You pitch, you do the pros and cons, and you have to close that deal. You know, so when you look at when you're even shopping or when you're communicating, you got to ask. You never
the
assume.
Transaction. It's, yep.
Yeah, we are assuming breed. Because we're afraid to ask for or just get clarity
that's
on anything that we're doing. That's the problem.
You're absolutely right. You are. That's what happened to me. I didn't ask. I didn't ask.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And then, and you know, and I think it's not our fault. And I think we need
not.
To respect that and honor that because we saw that from our previous elders and we think
you're not supposed to be like loved and you're supposed to be left alone and you're supposed because I was raised by a mother with that a father who pretty much abandoned us, so I went with the total opposite, but I ended up with somebody who was physically with me but emotionally not present, so it was the same thing.
So you can have two parents in the house, but it doesn't mean that they're doing the right parenting because most likely they're not emotionally connecting with you. And that's what most of the issues are with females.
Right.
That the father's out all the time, and just because they're there doesn't mean they're doing their role.
No,
and you only learn this when you're going through your awakening and have this understanding.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, hey.
There's another chapter, and I want the chapter to be pure. You know?
Absolutely. And that's
pure. And you too, Anna, like there's another chat, like as much as this is so difficult for both of us, like we didn't think at this stage of the game, we didn't think that we would have, you know, we thought we would just maintain our family units and sell off into the sunset. And then here we are like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Starting from scratch.
What the hell is Act 3 going to be about?
Right.
Damn.
So it's just like, why do you think like now a lot of, it's like the last 15 years, the last women have the most thyroid issues because we're very bad communicators.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But that's good though. But that was, I love pop in with your cards next time. That's, I like that. And that was really a beautiful message for both Anna and myself because we have dear, dear, dear loved ones that are on the other side, her mother, my daughter, and that was a beautiful joint message. So thank you so much for that, and I think this will be a good opportunity to sign off. Girl, so am I going to see you on Thursday? We don't know.
I don't know.
With Elisa's,
it depends on if Elisa has a jury duty or not. Yep.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be, you know, she's going to be like the judge. She'll be like judging the case. Just watch. Anyway, Anna, I love being on with you. So great to catch up, although it's very bittersweet with what we have going on in our lives. And Lolita, love you, and thank you so much for your reading and your energy and your support. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Anna, thank you so much. And if you could just close it out with your tagline, that would be great.
Sure. Life is a journey. Be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Love
bye.
You. Okay, bye.
Love you.